Good morning. Pastor Heaton with you on the Bible Baptist Hour. 15 minutes of music and Bible teaching, and I hope it's been helpful to you or will be helpful to you today as we're in the second part of a message entitled, What Jesus Did For You. Bible Baptist Church is located on the east side of the road, no matter which way you come into Lupton. You'll find this big white building in the middle of town, big parking lot across the street, plenty of room for you to park in. And we hope that maybe you'll come and visit with us sometime. Or maybe if you're looking for a church, you'll come and try us out. We may not be what you're looking for, and then again, we may be exactly what you're looking for. We have service times at 9:45 for Sunday school, 11 o'clock in the morning service, and 6 o'clock in the evening service. And our Thursday is our midweek, and that's at 7 o'clock. We have youth time Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for our teens, and then we have for the younger age group, 5 to 12, I believe is the age, on Thursday night during our midweek service. So there's something I think that will be helpful to your family in some way, and believe they would enjoy it. Again, as I said, this is the second part of a message entitled What Jesus Did For You. We hope that it'll be a blessing to you, and hope that you'll take the time at the end of the program, when our announcer gives an address where you can write to us, that you'll take the time to copy it down and drop a little note in the mail just saying, Pastor wants you to know we're listening. And if we've been a blessing, say that. If we haven't, don't say that. Don't tell us something that isn't the truth. All right? We want to be a blessing to you, but I know sometimes we aren't, but we want to be. And I know sometimes the messages are tough and hard, but we want to be a blessing. All right. The song, Bruce Fry, He Brought Me Out, is the title of the song. And then into the second part of the message, What Jesus Did For Me.
I once was lost in sin's dark valley, drowning in life's angry sea, going down, no one to help me. But Jesus' love has lifted me. Though the storm around me rages, I'm holding to His nail-scarred hand. He brought me out of troubled water, set my feet on peaceful land. Now I'm free from angry waters. By faith I'm washed in Jesus' blood. I'll drink water clean and peaceful that flows down from the throne of God. Though the storm around me rages, I'm holding to His nail-scarred hand. He brought me out of troubled water. He set my feet on peaceful land. Though the storm scarred hand, He brought me out of troubled water. He set my feet on peaceful land. Though the storm around me rages, I'm holding to His nail-scarred hand. He brought me out troubled water, He set my feet on peaceful land. Set my feet on peaceful land.
And we're not willing to forsake much for the cause of Christ. But you know, I want to tell you what, my friend. He forsook everything he had to come down here. He even left his glory. And the only men that ever got to see it was Peter, James, and John. And that was just for a moment of time. Got to see it. But you know what Jesus knew that you and I haven't quite got through yet? That he was going to have it forever anyways. And one of these days, you're going to have the glory forever. Not only that, Jesus fulfilled what I couldn't. No one in 4,000 years had ever fulfilled the law. Now let's turn back to Matthew 5 a minute. And Jesus came to do what no other man had ever done. As a matter of fact, Jesus came and did what no other man can ever do. Without an exception, and let me explain that to you in a minute. Wouldn't you like to be able to fulfill the law? Huh? Trick question you feel, don't you? Huh? Wouldn't you like to be able to fulfill the law? Huh? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to be able to say, I fulfill the law? Okay, we'll see if we can't work that out for you. Matthew 5, verse 17 says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to... Okay, so Jesus came to do something I couldn't do. Man, Moses tried it, and Jeremiah tried it, and Ezekiel tried it, and Daniel tried it, and all the people in between them and the people after them, and nobody could ever do it. And you know the sad thing about that? There are still people today trying to do it. Well, let's turn to Galatians 6 and then Romans 13. I'm going to show you it is possible to fulfill the law. And man, you don't have to know the Ten Commandments by heart. Wouldn't that be amazing? You know that within the reach of you this morning is the ability to be able to fulfill the law. And you couldn't even quote, most of you couldn't quote Leviticus. Some of you can't find it. Galatians 6:2. Brethren, I'm sorry. Well, I'll read verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, be sure to call your neighbors and let them know. I know that's not the way it reads, but that's modern interpretation. If I may overtake in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill... it is possible. What was Christ's law? Did you ever go back and read what he said? He broke it down to 2 points. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what he said the law was, 2 things. And he said, if you'll do that much, he said, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. But Paul's even clearing that. Look at Romans 13. See, Jesus came to do something nobody could ever do. Now listen, what I'm about to tell you doesn't mean that if a person does this, they've all of a sudden completed the requirements that Jesus did and now they're in the same league. No, I'm sorry, you can't do that. Because Jesus did something you can't do. The law required a perfect sacrifice, and he was that and became that. But because of him, you can now do what you never could have done. But only after you're saved. Now, Romans 13 and verse 8. Owe no man anything. Wow. That's a horrible thing to read at Christmas time, isn't it? Some of you have been flashing MasterCard and Visa around, Discover cards, and went down to the bank, credit union, got a Christmas loan. All right, get off of that. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. No law of Christ there. What's he done? He's fulfilled the law. So by loving one another, we are in effect fulfilling the law. You say, how do we do that? Did you ever go back and read the law? And did you ever see how the law is applied to others? And if a man, listen, if you love one another, you're not going to kill one another. Now, I'm not talking about this lovey-dovey that goes on someplace. Brother Jim White told me, he said, preacher, he said, man, I get in some weird situations. He said, I was in one church, and he said, following the part of the service, he said, all of a sudden, he said, they began to hugging one another and kissing one another. And he said, I don't mean they was kissing on the cheeks. He said, but they was kissing smoocher to smoocher. He said, I saw the preacher. He grabbed him two or three women, and he was a-kissing on them, and they was a-kissing on him. And he said, I'm going, nobody better kiss on me. He said he was in a big old black church. Big church. He said he's in that thing. He said after the service was over that Sunday, he said he was standing back talking with the pastor, and he saw this extra large dark woman coming at him. And he said he knew something and told him inside what she was going to do. And as she came to him, she was saying, oh, Brother Jim, that's the greatest preaching I ever did here. And she was coming right at him. And he said, I didn't know what to do. And he said, she grabbed me. And she hugged me. And squished me up to her. And planted a great big old kiss right on me. Now, I'm not talking about all that stuff. But in loving your neighbor means that sometimes you have to love them despite what may not be agreeable to you. Don't you know God loved you despite what you were? While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. Don't you know God loved you before you loved him? See, our qualification for love in America is, if you like what I like and do what I do and we get along, fine, I love you. Otherwise, forget it. And so, therefore, we have a hard time being the kind of Christian that we need to be because we can't fulfill the law with that kind of a rationale. See, he took the curse. Now, if you'll turn over to Colossians 2 just a minute. And I'm telling you, I said, I got to be careful here. This stuff can preach on for a long time. Because he did so much. Colossians 2, verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. See, Jesus did what I couldn't do. He fulfilled what I couldn't. There was no way in this world that I could take the curse that was against me in the law and get rid of it. But Jesus did that. Jesus took that law and with him, he took it to the cross and in effect nailed it to the cross and left it there when he died and took my sins. He did what I couldn't do. See, I couldn't please God. I couldn't obey the law. I couldn't even have communication with God. So Jesus came and fulfilled what I couldn't, so I could. See, we always talk about Jesus fulfilling the law and did all that kind of stuff, but we don't realize the reason he did that is because you couldn't, so he did it so you could. He didn't do it and say, there, I've taken care of for you, now go ahead and do what you want. He said, now I've taken care of the part you can't take care of. You take care of the part you can. As surely as I couldn't have a direct communication with God, Jesus could, and so he took care of the matter that he could take care of. Now he says, if you want to communicate with him, you've got to talk with him. But I made the open line. As sure as I couldn't please God, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So he came and pleased God, and because I couldn't, he did, and now I can because he did. And because I couldn't fulfill the law, which spoke to me about my neighbor, my relationship, and particularly as we refer to the Ten Commandments, Jesus came and fulfilled it, and he said, now I took care of the letter of the law, you take care of the other part of it. See? Man says, I can't obey the law. You're right. You couldn't have taken care of the letter of the law if your life depended on it. That's why he did. Now he said, you take care of that part of relationship between your neighbor and yourself. That part you can do. And there's no excuse for a Christian ever to say, well, there ain't no sense in trying to can't obey. Yes, you can. My Bible says you can. And I guess that Bible's more right than you and I put together is. Is or are, whatever the proper verb is to use there at that point, or maybe just don't use one, I don't know. Since I don't worry about those things. I'll tell you something else he did. He forgave and forgives my sins. I'm glad of that, aren't you? Boy, I'll tell you anything I'm glad for. I'm glad somebody forgave my sins. Because I can tell you some folks had done it. I can tell you some folks more than know some things about me, they'd never forgiven for me. But I'm glad Jesus did, and he does. He forgives sin, and his forgiveness is eternal. He forgives us, and if he hadn't forgiven us, boy, we'd have no hope. In whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. Through his blood is how we got it. The Bible makes it clear that he is willing to forgive if I'm willing to confess. We'd kind of like sometimes forgiveness, but not on the grounds that we want to confess that we did wrong. Huh? You don't have to own up to it. But it's the truth. We want forgiveness, but not because we're willing to confess we did anything. You've heard people say, I want you to forgive me. I don't know what I did or if I did anything. You lie. You knew what you did. And you know why you did it. So why don't you just own up? You get out and say, Lord, if I've done anything wrong, forgive me. Oh, why don't you just get out and say, Lord, I've lied, cheated. I've done everything this week. Lord, I even tried to do some things and knew was wrong. Well, you get out and say, Lord, if. Who are you kidding? You ain't kidding God a minute. Right? We're just not willing to confess that we did it. One reason is because, you know, we'd kind of like to do it again. Hey, all of us got little sins we kind of enjoy. I don't care who you are this morning. You know, just... Man says, I just can't quit smoking. Could if you wanted to. You just enjoy it. Ooh, got quiet in here. Something about tobacco and alcohol always makes the church quiet. Did you ever notice that? You start talking about tobacco and alcohol, boy, and people, either they know somebody does it and it's getting them, or else it is getting them. Say, preacher, aren't you afraid you'll hurt somebody? No, not as much as I think I can help them. I'm not as worried much about hurting somebody as I am helping somebody. See, I got down at that funeral the other day. I said, just want you folks to know something. I said, when I preach, I just don't pull no punches. So I'm not here to give some flowery speech. I'm here to tell you like it is. And that's just a fair warning before I get started. And I'm not up here to tell you some nice old things about a man I don't know anything about, but I will tell you some things about God and the Word of God I do know something about. Besides that, I've never known a church to amount to anything where the preacher flowered everybody up anyway. Now, if I'm going to flower you, I'll guarantee you it's called gold medal, and I'm about ready to fry you. Just giving you a little covering first before I flower you. Amen. That's about the only flower you're going to get from me up here. If you're looking for daffodils, you can wait till you die and push them up. Because I ain't going to give you none from here. Look at Ephesians 4. And if you ever go visiting and hear somebody tell you they don't like me, that'll normally be why they don't like me. Well, he just ain't nice. He don't make me feel good when I leave. Well, I'll shake your hand on the way out the door. I'm not that ugly and nasty. But I mean, wouldn't you? Just stop thinking about it, Christian. Wouldn't you be awful mad at me if you could sit in this church for 10 years and I'd never tell you how bad you was and get saved or get right with God and you faced God someday and he took you in the back room and slapped you up? I ain't going to anyways, but I mean, wouldn't you say, where's that little old sneaking preacher we had? I don't find him beat his brains out. Somebody'd say, you don't have to. I just beat him out and there wasn't too much to beat out the time I got to him. At that funeral the other day after I got done, old fella come up to me at the dinner and shook my hand. He says, you're my kind of preacher. I thought, yeah, you can listen to me for 20 minutes at a funeral and I'll be your kind of preacher. Why don't you sit down in the seat for about 3 Sundays? You know, I'm pretty nice on the radio most of the time, so most people think I'm nice. But I got Ben out there listening to me. He informs them all in Fairview and Mile what kind of a guy I am, so I didn't worry too much about that. Verse 32, Ephesians 4, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Everybody knows that verse. We've learned that verse in school. We've learned that verse in Sunday school. We learned that verse in Bible school. We just never do anything with it. See, God expects us to practice what he did. Amen? I don't care if he amen, he still did. I was listening last night. My wife and I was sitting at the table cutting up apples, and I was listening to a colored preacher on the radio. I enjoy those guys. They can get you humming, boy. He was a Pentecostal or something. I don't know. He kept talking about getting baptized in the water. But he had a reader. A lot of these guys got a reader. You know, they said, turn to Job 32. And this guy turned to Job 30, and he'll begin to read, and he quotes him after he reads. And then they get to going back and forth, you know, whoa, whoa, you know. And he said, I said, amen, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, man. He could go, told him, I said, I don't know how them guys do that, but they got it, don't worry. I say amen here, and two other people go. He forgives and he forgets. And not only that, my friend, or forgives, he forgave and forgives. But not only that, he expects me to do the same thing.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to The Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.